you have your Bibles with you this evening, can we turn to the Gospel according to Luke? That's Luke's Gospel in chapter 12, commencing to read at verse 16, a well-known portion of Scripture. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 16. This is what the word of the Lord hath to say. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Ending our reading at verse 21, we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. With the word of God open before us, let's bow for a brief moment's prayer. Father in heaven, we now come to these next few moments where thy word takes priority. And we long for help from the Spirit of God, that thou wilt come amongst us and bless. Teach us great things from thy law. Close the world out, we pray, and close us in with thine offer of mercy. We just long that the Spirit of God might brood from seat to seat, from heart to heart, and convict of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. Grant, Lord, that the cry will go up, What must I do to be saved? For we ask it in the Savior's precious and in his worthy name. Amen. Friends, it's not how we start out for God that matters, but it's how we finish the race for him. This evening, I want us to take a look at an individual who, by the world's standards, was a real success in life. We've read of an individual, a businessman with tremendous business acumen. He was a professional within the farming community. He was a standard bearer for the industry and for the trade which he knew so well. And I'm sure that given his success, this man that we have before us was a wealthy man. But friends, in spite of his outstanding credentials, in spite of his standing in the community and amongst the farming folk within his neighborhood, here was a man that the God of heaven called a fool. In many ways, it's a tragic story. But the narrative, nonetheless, is repeated time and time and time again, not only in this wee province, but throughout the rest of the world. When we witness a people too busy to have the Lord in their life. The story suggests that this farmer was so conscientious for his crops and for the well-being of his land. Friends, that alas, he forgot about his soul. He is a man who had his barns full, but a soul that was void and empty of the God of heaven. Let's just pause there for a moment. And let's just ask the question with Judgment Day honesty. Could this be me in the passage this evening? Or maybe you don't have the occupation of a farmer just like this man. But are you so busy in your field of employment or your endeavors in life that you're too busy for God and for the life that He would want you to live? Could it be that there is no window of opportunity or time for the Lord in your life? You may say, but preacher, you don't know and realize how busy I really am. Well, perhaps you're far busier than the Lord wanted you to be. Could the God of mercy be bringing a message to your soul this evening? Could it be that He's asking you to prioritize in relation to where He fits in to your life? Could it be that this evening He's asking you to dethrone whatever has the preeminence in your life, that He might be exalted Himself? Maybe you've been content for oh so long to have the Lord on the periphery of your life, to have all the trappings of religion. But as we said this morning, no personal relationship within. But this evening, the Lord of the second chance is bringing a message before you this evening. To put things right. Friends, to put your house in order before it's too late. Oh, don't be like this fool of a farmer who neglected his soul in favor of his fortune. We will hear this evening of a man who was so successful, of a man who was so organized, but of a man that had no window or space for God in his life. Let's take a look this evening at the farmer who became God's busy fool. Verse 16, we read these words, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." This farmer's barns were not only filled, but friends, they were overflowing with abundance. He had plowed at the right time. He had sown in the right season. He had gleaned and he had gathered everything just when his crop was ripe. And the Bible says, yea, Christ says, he returned a bountiful harvest for his family. He was an absolute professional in his trade. What he didn't know about the farming industry, well, it simply wasn't worth knowing. I want you to see the success of this farmer. Oh, I have no doubts that he was the envy of the farming community. I've no doubts that his peers and his contemporaries, they would have looked across his fields and they would have seen that this farmer's done well. He was heralded in the farming fraternity. As they looked upon his fields, they saw fruit and vegetables in abundance. Not only the success of this farmer, I believe we can glean the satisfaction this farmer had. I'm sure that as he looked upon his crops with great delight, as he looked upon those fields that were white already unto harvest, that he was more than satisfied, more than thrilled with the work of his hands. His fields were a hive of activity when it came to the gathering in and to the harvest season. And day by day, week by week, he would be hiring additional staff to come and to gather and to glean from his fields. What a bounty. What a bountiful harvest he had. The successful farmer, the satisfied farmer. I believe that we can see the status of this farmer. He would have been the talk and envy of the neighborhood and of the countryside. Perhaps some even felt that this farmer had the Miser's touch, that anything he seemed to touch just turned to gold. Friends, he knew his trade through and through. And even his envious colleagues, well, they would have had to concede that he knew the business inside out, and his status in the farming community, it increased. One is not only to see that this was a farmer who had plenty, but friends, this is a farmer who got to the stage where he made a plea. For in spite of his success and his satisfaction and his status in life, this farmer had a great dilemma. Can you see what he says in verse 17? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. Oh, this farmer had been so successful in life that he had now outgrown his barns. And he gets to the stage where he makes this plea, what shall I do? Note the concerns and cares that he had when he saw the extraordinary crop upon his ground. It wasn't to thank the Lord of the harvest for the great crop and ingathering. Neither was it to rejoice for the opportunity that was afforded to him to gather all into his barns. But instead, he afflicts himself with this question, with this problem, with this crisis in his life. What shall I do? What on earth am I going to do? There's not a word as to what God had done. As we read through the passage, we see no praise. We see no worship. We see no adoration. We see no sacrifice. But what we would have is the Father here, who has blessed the hand of this farmer, and his barns are full, and now he knows not what to do. Friends, I'm sure you've been there in the past, when problems and the issues of life and a crisis has fallen upon you and me. I'm sure that we have got to that stage in our life where we just don't know what to do. I know there have been many occasions when circumstances in my life have overtaken me and things seem to spin out of control. Well, the child of God can always take it to the Lord, of course. But here was a man that had not made his peace with God. Oh, perhaps your circumstances are vastly different from the foolish farmer. But maybe there have been times when you've faced a real dilemma in your life. If you've not faced it in the past, be assured you'll face one in the future. Sometimes we turn to our family and to our friends, and those of us that know and love the Lord, we turn to Him. But I wonder, could there be someone gathered in this evening and you've never made your peace with God, and yet you face problems and difficulties and issues in life, and you just don't know where to turn, and you're saying, just like this foolish farmer, what should I do? It could be this evening a physical problem, or perhaps only you and the Lord know about it. Maybe the health is failing, and the thought running through your head, what am I going to do? Maybe it's a financial problem. We live in a very awkward and a very difficult world, and the pressures and burdens of our finances fall heavy upon our shoulders this evening. Maybe that's your crisis this very night. You don't know where to turn. You're asking the question, what should I do? For the young people, it may be that it's an educational need. Worrying about the exams fastly approaching and the grades that you need to gain and the qualifications that you need in order to further your career and goal in life. You're wondering, what can I do? Perhaps it's a domestic problem, a family issue. Maybe it's an employment problem. We live in difficult days. And maybe that isn't the job security that you would long for and desire. And you can't get away from this question, what should I do? I wonder, could it be a spiritual problem this evening? I wonder, do you know that things aren't right in your life as far as God is concerned? That there was a time maybe when you walked in sweet fellowship with Him, but now you're just like Peter of old. You're following the Lord afar off. And there's now distance between you and the God of heaven. And you're asking the question, what shall I do? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name's Jesus. And friends, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's your friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Do you know He's the great burden bearer this evening? He encourages His people, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for thee. Oh, this was a real crisis for this farmer, because he never had that peace. He never had that assurance. He never had that walk with the Lord, the sweet fellowship and communion with God. And so he was like that ship that Sarah sang of, drifting without a sail in life. He could cut the crop. He could gather the grain. He could haul in the harvest. But where, friends, where will it be stored? His plenty, his plea, what shall I do? Briefly consider his problem. Look again in verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? I have no room. Friends, he had simply failed to prepare for a bountiful harvest. And there's an old saying, if you fail to prepare, then be prepared to fail. Now it was a real problem. He had been so busy sowing and watering and reaping and gathering and harvesting that he failed to prepare. In the midst of all his activity, he simply failed to think ahead of the great problem that was looming and that one day he would face. And that's like so many of us in this world in which we live. Just far too busy for God. Oh, think about the day and age in which we live. We now have supersonic planes that can travel at incredible speeds to distant places in this world in which we live. We now have high-powered vehicles that can get us from A to B quicker than ever before. We now click onto the internet, and in moments, we can send a letter or an email to friends in Australia in seconds. Friends, we even have moving staircases. Yet in the midst of so many time-saving devices, we seem to have little or no time for God. We've saved all this time and we've pushed God to the perimeter of our life. Friends, we are now in the day of preparation. The Bible says that we must prepare to meet our God. I wonder, friend, have you made preparation for the well-being of your soul? For one day we will stand before the Maker and Creator of the heavens and the earth. And each and every one of us will have to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh and what we have done with Jesus, which is called Christ. Your decision in this life in relation to that question will determine your destiny throughout the countless ages of eternity. And it begs the question this evening, where will you spend eternity? I want you to read with me all the times that this foolish farmer now refers to himself. Look how many times he mentions the word I as we read through these next few verses. Look at verse 18. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This will I do. He commences a building program. I'll pull down the barns. I've the finance. I've the capital. I've time on my side. What I'll do, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater barns. We'll be able to eat. We'll drink. We'll be merry. We will party till the late hours of the night. Oh, he was prepared to commence his demolition program. His plans were to rebuild. They were his goods. It was going to be done his way. But nowhere in these three verses, 16, 17, and 18, do we read anything about him seeking the mind of God in relation to his life. Friends, it's not all about what we will do. It's all about what he has done for us. The foolish farmer said, "I have much goods laid up for many years." But friends, little did he know that before midnight would strike, he would be launched out into God's eternity. As he made these preparations and these plans to pull down and to build up again, he didn't realize that he had an appointment with deity that very night. He had only moments to live. I suppose when we analyze his life, he had more of an interest in his bank book than the Bible. He had more of an interest in his body than his soul. He had more of an interest in time rather than in eternity. Friends, one day you will hear your very last gospel message. And friends, it could be this one this evening. And one day you will listen to your very last Bible reading, and my friends, it could be this one, this evening. One day you will eat your last meal, and it may already have taken place. One day, for the very last time, you'll be exposed to the life-changing message of the gospel. And friends, one day you will close your eyes for the very last time and take your last breath. But let me ask the question, how will it be with your soul? How will it be in that day when you pass this scene of time? Will God say, after a life lived under the banner of religion, thou fool, because you never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I remember when I was a boy, perhaps you used to play this game over here. We used to play hide and seek. Someone would stand on the den and they'd close their eyes and you'd count to 20 and all your friends would run into the neighborhood. And then you'd shout out, "I'm ready. I'm coming, ready or not." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's promised to return to this world. And friends, he's coming whether you're ready or whether you're not. I really struggled for this message this evening because I was inclined for a while to take that portion when Paul wrote to Timothy about the day of his departure was at hand. And he said these words, "I am now ready to be offered." You see, he was ready for eternity. He was ready for the God of heaven to come and to carry his loved one home. He'd made due and adequate preparation. Friends, we ask the question again, are you ready? Are you ready for heaven and for home? Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, it's not how we start this life that matters, but it's how we finish the race. Paul could say, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Oh, our prayer this evening is that you might not hear those awful words that were uttered to the farmer on that fateful evening. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the solemnity of the gathering. We believe, Lord, that thou art speaking through thy word. And Lord, we just long that thou wilt take up thine own truth. And what has been of thyself, we pray that thou wilt apply it to needy hearts and souls. Bring sinners graciously unto thyself. Grant that they might be born of thy Spirit and washed in the blood, and that there might be rejoicing this night in the presence of the angels of God as sinners are liberated from the bondage of sin and set gloriously free. We pray that thou wilt now part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. For thy name's sake we pray. Amen.